Good morning, Chair. You are on the record.
Thank you, Ramey. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Wednesday, September 11th, ADA Board meeting. I'll call the meeting to order. I'll ask Ramey to do a roll call of the board members.
Commissioner Sandy? Commissioner Crum?
Mr. Kendig?
Here.
Mr. Fogel?
Here.
Mr. Ellich?
Here.
Mr. Vivlamore?
Here.
Chair Prews?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you.
Dana, this is Bill. This is Bill. I just want to let you know I had to call in. The internet at this Bear Lodge sucks, so I won't be able to see anything. So if you guys can kind of keep me updated.
Well, we just have your picture up, Bill, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I won't be able to see any of the material, so.
All right. Well, before us next is the agenda. Bill, do you have the agenda in front of you? So can you follow through that?
No, I don't even have the agenda, but that's okay.
All right. All right, so next up is our agenda approval.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to motion the approval of the agenda as presented.
This is Bill Vivlamore, I'll second.
Thank you. Does anybody have any comments, suggestions, changes, deletions? Is there any objection to approving the agenda as presented? Hearing none, agenda is approved. That brings us to item number four on the agenda, prior minutes for August 7th, 2024. As the board members, have you had a chance to review the minutes? And if you have, I'll take a motion to put them on the table for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'll motion that the prior meeting minutes of August 7th be approved as presented.
Bill Vivlamore, second.
On the table, any discussion, corrections, deletions, clarifications? Any objections to adopting the minutes as presented? Hearing none, the minutes are adopted. Item number five is public comments. I will ask that you limit any public comment to 2 minutes per person. I'd also ask that you state your name clearly for the record. And if you have an affiliation, clearly state that also. Ramey, let's go online. Is there anybody online wishing to make a public comment?
If there are any members on the line that wish to make a public comment, please press *9 on your phone now. You will be recognized in the order that you call. Please clearly state your name and affiliation if you have one. Chair, there are no public members on the line.
All right. Is anybody in the boardroom wishing to make a public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comments for the time being. Next up is new business. So, A is pretty long. Executive session, confidential liver matters related to ADA's finances, ANWR, HEX, Cook Inlet Gas, Ketchikan Shipyard.
Mr. Chairman.
Albert.
I'll move that the board enter an executive session for the purposes of discussing the following: ADA finances, ANWR, HEX, Cook Inlet Gas, Ketchikan Shipyard, and other matters related to ADA and matters that are subject to specific legal advice, which is subject to attorney-client privilege. These matters, which, if discussed publicly, could have an adverse effect on the finances of ADA, are matters of that are attorney-client privileged and matters involving consideration of issues that, by law, are not subject to public disclosure due to the executive or deliberative process privilege or law. The executive session and matters discussed therein are proper subjects for an executive session under the Alaska Open Meetings Act, referenced in Alaska Statute 44.62.310(c)(1), (3), and (4), and the Alaska Public Records Act.
Ms. Bill Vivlamore, a second.
All right. So, Ramey, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy? Commissioner Crum? Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Mr. Vivlemore?
Yes.
Chair Pruse?
Yes.
We're in executive session.
All right.
Chair, you're back on the record.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody's patience. I'll advise the public the board is not taking any action on the matters discussed while in executive session. And the session is limited to discussion of matters directly protected by from public disclosure by the Open Meeting Act. That brings us to item number B under new business, the Callan presentation. Do we want to move to something different while we're waiting?
Do we have Callan on?
So Callan is, I've just informed them that we're out in executive session and they've been teed up and they should be joining momentarily.
All right.
If you wanted to.
How long is it? Is it a long presentation or no?
I would ask them to keep it to 15 minutes or less.
All right. You put them on your ear.
That's the hope.
I mean, I'm telling you what. Woo! Yes. I like the strategy, though. We still have Julie and Bill online?
Yep, I'm on.
Okay.
Do I still have everybody?
Yeah, we hear you, Bill. We're just we're waiting for Callan to come online to give us an overview, quick presentation.
Good afternoon, or almost.
Can you move through your...
I'm sorry, I missed the rest of that.
Sorry, hi Perry, this is Jeff Johns, just asking, will Alex be joining us as well?
Yeah, I believe so. He's probably in the process of logging in.
Okay, and Alex will be the one attempting to share his screen so that the board members can see.
I can share mine now and get it queued up.
That would be great. Thank you.
What's this guy's name?
This is Perry Hopper.
All right.
Perry and Alex Ford are, generally speaking, the representatives of Callan who are presenting our consolidated financial returns for Alaska Permit Capital Management and Barrow Hanley for their most recent fiscal year.
Barry, is this something you're comfortable with starting while we wait, or?
Yeah, that's no problem.
Then all right, Chair, if we go ahead and get started.
Did we get the green light there? Sorry, I didn't hear the chair.
Yeah, except let's not go through 34 pages.
No. We can do that for you. all right, well, I'll kick things off with the economic overview. I'll try to do it in just a few minutes, given that we probably stand between you all and lunch. So to set the stage for the market environment over the fiscal year, it was, you know, generally pretty good economic conditions, really coming out of a challenging 2022 calendar year where we had the rate reset, both, you know, troublesome for equities and fixed income. We've seen a trend since then of, you know, moderating inflation and pretty healthy economic growth and you know, other economic data points coming in. So kind of, you know, second quarter and really throughout the last year, threading the needle of the soft landing. So GDP growth fairly strong. Most recent print we had was 3%. So, getting revised a little bit higher from the numbers we have here in the second estimate. So healthy growth, but not so much so that it's impeding with the Fed's goal to, have moderating inflation. So inflation throughout this year so far has dropped from 3.4% down to 3% at the end of the fiscal year and has ticked even lower since then. We're down to 2.9%, and so approaching that 2% target of the Fed's. The other kind of data point that's been pretty favorable for the Fed, you know, approaching its change in interest rate policy is the employment data. We had 2 years of sub 4% unemployment, and that started to weaken a little bit, but not done so in a way that's been, you know, overly alarming. There's a little bit of turbulence around the July report, which came out in August, but generally, pretty favorable trend. And so all that to say that we are, likely on the precipice of, Federal Reserve, rate cuts. So September is what the market's expecting for the first cut, split, between a single cut of 25 basis points and a double cut of 50. Those numbers kind of move around a little bit, but the most recent expectations is about a 30% chance of a double cut, and most likely just going to see 25 basis point reduction through the end of the year. Market's expecting about 1% drop in rates from the FOMC meetings for the last three. So all that to say that should be a tailwind for fixed income portfolios such as this. The rising rate environment has been really challenging and disappointing, and we'll obviously touch on that when we talk about performance. But hopefully going forward that ends up being a tailwind, and you'll see in the bottom left chart here, we've got the yield curves. They've been inverted now for 2 years. Certainly the case at the end of the fiscal year, but with the expectations for short-term rates to fall, that's actually normalized. And so you may see a little changing of the guard, whereas, historically and over the 2024 fiscal year, we saw cash outperform, right? And so the Enterprise Development Fund had a pretty good year, whereas longer-dated bonds didn't do as well. So starting to see that revert. And on the next slide, we show the historical spread between the 2 and 10 year. So just kind of all the way to the right there, you see we've been inverted for a while. Typically, that's a harbinger of recession. Not always. There are false positives along the way. But, kind of the thing to note for when it normalizes is that can indicate that you're at the beginning or in the midst of a recession. So it doesn't mean, all clear in terms of the economic signals there. I'll skip some slides and we'll just hop over to 7 and look at broad market performance. It's been a really good environment for equities, and that's probably frustrating for, conservative capital preservation focused portfolios such as this to witness. 25% return for the S&P 500 over the fiscal year, and trailing numbers pretty impressive as well, with the 5 and 10 both in double digits. Fixed income has been more disappointing. The index that we look at is Bloomberg aggregate here. It's basically an index of a diversified bond portfolio. historical numbers really disappointing the last 10 years, you know, accumulating only 1.4% annualized. We had the combination of zero interest rate policy for, you know, a decade, followed by a rapid, you know, rate resetting in 2022. And so that's weighed on long-term numbers. We're seeing those, you know, returns improve, right, over the last year, up 2.6%, but still not as, you know, favorable as we would have hoped. Typically, yield is the best indicator of performance in fixed income. And so looking forward, our capital markets team expects over 5% annualized return out of fixed income, with the you know, rates expected to fall soon. I mean, they have done so since the second quarter. We're hoping that's you know, a tailwind for fixed income investors such as yourselves. The two trends within fixed income that are worth highlighting, because I know we'll touch on these when we talk about performance, is that shorter dated bonds, given the shape of the yield curve, do a lot better. So cash returns have been strong, 5.4% over the last year. And longer dated fixed income has done poorly. They're more interest rate sensitive. So the rising rates, that's been poor. So down 1.6% for that long gov credit index. The other kind of underlying factor is the more exposure you have to credit risk, the better your fixed income investments have done. Those tend to be more highly correlated with risk assets like equities. And so in an environment where people are risk on, credit risk has been rewarded in fixed income markets.
So Randy, just real quick. So Callan's overseeing the $380 million?
Callan's not overseeing that. That's still invested at in trust. So,
but
trust
what, they're the managers of over. What's their role?
I'm sorry. So Callan is simply tracking and reporting on market performance and our performance of our investments. Okay. We actually have Barrow Hanley and Alaska Perm Capital that are.
But they're overlooking the $380 million.
Correct.
Advising, not the 270.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Keep going.
Thank you. Good question. So if it's okay with you guys, I'll just move on to performance. If, you know, are there any other questions on the markets?
No, keep going.
Okay. I'm not sure. Do you guys know if Alex has joined the call? He might want to do the performance. If not, I can tackle it.
Yep. Perry, I'm here online. Good afternoon, trustees. We're going to shift gears off of kind of the broad strokes of the economic environment, market performance over the last quarter and year, and now look at the results for the ADA investment fund itself.
Are you on page 13?
We're on page 13 if you're following along.
Thank you.
On screen. And so please stop us if you have questions or want to dive in detail anywhere. We intend to take a little bit of a high-level view. But given kind of the economic backdrop that Perry covered, we'll look at fiscal year results for the fiscal year ending 2024. We start on page 13 with a look at, you know, the overall asset allocation, and the movement of dollars, how that's changed over the course of the last year. So you started 1 year ago with an asset value all combined of, just shy of $570 million. That was approximately 60% allocated with two external investment managers, Alaska Permanent Capital Management and Barrow Hanley. The rest of the assets were in the internally managed Enterprise Development Fund program. Over the course of the fiscal year, you can see positive investment return. So in terms of unrealized gains, about $25 million driven by performance of those strategies was added to the overall ADA investment fund. And then additionally, one column to the left under net new investment, you see $66.37 million flowing into the investment fund being contributed to the ADA program as well. The two of those combined, the investment gains and the money flowing in, pushed the value of the program up over $91 million throughout the course of the fiscal year, such that you ended fiscal year 2024 at a position of just shy of $661 million in total assets. Excuse me. And then just the pie chart shows how that's allocated, right? Today, It's about 53% external managers and the balance about 47% in the internal enterprise development program. And that fluctuates through time. The investment policy does not specify a target to either external or internal assets, but it varies from around 50% to 60%, just as it has over the course of this fiscal year. So that's the asset picture and how flows have looked. If we look at performance on page 14, this is a historical picture of fiscal year returns going back 20 years. So the green bar is the what we're calling the fixed income composite. That is the combination of the two external managers, Barrow Hanley and Alaska Permanent. The blue bar is the benchmark for those portfolios. That's the market index that you're trying to beat, and that is the Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate, an investment grade diversified market index. So what this shows us is it tells quite a few things. Over most of the fiscal years, the green bar is ahead of the blue bar. So that comes out to about 65% batting average over this 20-year period. And that's the primary objective. The managers, as a collection, are beating the benchmark after fees. That's what the goal is, as elucidated in the investment policy statement. You are achieving that most of the time. The other times when the investment program is falling short of the blue bar, falling short of the benchmark, it is doing so only very, very marginally, right? So we're talking about 10 to 20 to 30 basis points, a margin of underperformance in those years. So we would call that almost equal, you know, really kind of keeping pace. So a lot of years outperforming. Other years, like, very close keeping pace. So, again, over the long run, this collection of managers has been meeting the primary objective as laid out in the investment policy. The other thing that is apparently, you know, should be glaringly apparent to anyone looking at this page is the one outlier. And that was fiscal year 2022, when you see both the green and the blue bars deeply below that zero line, deeply into negative territory. That was a historical anomaly driven by the interest rate environment, really driven by what the Fed was doing in its effort to combat inflation. Now, those were not returns that anyone really ever would have expected out of fixed income. It doesn't reflect anything inherently broken with Ada's approach or even your managers, but it was really predicated by the backdrop of the market environment, right? There was nowhere to hide, and the results are showing that. So that is what is really dragging down the longer-term results, as we'll see in one moment. Outside of that one anomalous year, you'll notice this has been a really capital preservation-oriented investment approach, and it had done that very well. So, you know, most years were positive in mid to low single digits, and it very rarely lost principal, lost money in any one fiscal year. And so up to 2022, that had been the case. If we go ahead to 15, we'll see what the trailing performance looks like through June 30th, 2024. So you'll notice, again, this orientation. We talked about at the top, the Enterprise Development Fund, a much shorter duration investment strategy. And so that has benefited as yields are highest on the short end, right? Perry talked about the yield curve inversion. That was a boon to programs like the Enterprise Development Fund, and it had been a headwind for managers like in the external program, Alaska Permanent and Barrow Hanley. That's why you notice over the fiscal year, the Enterprise Development Fund at 5.36% return outperformed your external managers. Now, that's not the expectation. That's not how it's designed to function. But again, that was what the rate environment delivered over this relatively short period.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Why are we comparing it to Bloomberg? Is there any place else to compare it to?
Well, that is the standard market index. Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate is the industry standard for benchmarking fixed income portfolios like those you invest in. And so that's why it's being used.
Are they the only ones out there?
There may be others that we don't commonly see. And I don't know if they would be as good of a fit. This is the opportunity set against which these managers are investing on your behalf. And so it's the best comparison that we have.
Well, I'm just curious. You've got one name. You're comparing it against, against what they say. I'm just wondering if there should be a test or a litmus test for, another organization just to see a comparison, because it's Bloomberg seems to be the as you said, the common name, but I can't imagine in the world financial markets they're the only ones.
Right. There are certainly other index providers out there.
I don't know how hard it is, but I'd like to see a second group just to confirm.
Okay.
We've been going along with Bloomberg every once in a while. We need to check Bloomberg.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed over the years. It was formerly the Lehman Aggregate, then it became Barclays. Now it's Bloomberg.
Sound like a good track record.
Well, it's there as a company, the Bloomberg company that now has oversight of the index. There's no discretion to what's included, what's not included. It's an all-encompassing measure of the broad bond market, right? So it's the opportunity set from which your managers are investing. They hold a smaller subset of the index as an active manager. They only want some of it. They don't want all of it. Another index provider is not going to look materially different. I guess we could kind of see what else is out there if the board is so interested in that.
So, Mr. Chair, this is Jeff Johns, the Chief Investment Officer. We could look at what's contemplated and mentioned in our investment policy, which was Resolution G2125 implemented in September of 21, is the Barclays Capital Aggregate Bond Index or the Citigroup World Bond Index, for example, perhaps in combination with the Bloomberg Aggregate. And we can take that offline and I'll follow up with the folks at Callan. Okay.
For both, Jeff?
Yeah.
The Barclays Aggregate is the Bloomberg Aggregate now.
Yeah, that was one point of clarification. The IPS at some point does need to be updated. The Barclays reference is out of date. It is now the Bloomberg in that they have become, they are one and the same. So what was the Barclays index is today the Bloomberg index. So it's not a different index. And again, to Jeff's point, that is what is specified in your investment policy statement. So that just kind of as a fiduciary oversight, you're in compliance when we talk about that particular index. But we could, as an exercise, see if there's anything else out there.
Yeah, if the Callan guys could just talk to your colleague Steve Center and see what we use both for the Alaska Retirement Management Board as well as the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. I'm going through my old ARM board presentations and I can't find it exactly, but I'm curious to see what we use as the benchmark.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd be happy to.
Well, that brings me to, is that the benchmark we want to use? Right? I mean, so it's Bloomberg, but is that really the benchmark? I mean, looking at the Bloomberg averages are pretty low to me.
Well, it's being the aggregate. So, I mean, that's – it is. I knew that the Barclays one that got rolled into it. So it just be kind of curious. If the other two large funds in the state are using that, then it is, from a fiduciary perspective, a good benchmark.
Okay, we will be happy to look at that, come back, particularly in comparison to RMB and see what else is out there. Just a point of reference,
control.
The is there a question?
No, keep going.
Okay. Yeah, the you know, what we hate to call the poor returns, but you know, there's no shying away from the fact that the return to the broad bond market, you know, has been very challenging for investors such as yourselves. Again, going back to the environment with the Fed's intervention, the dramatically increasing interest rates, that's what drove that. The numbers you're seeing have nothing to do with Bloomberg as a provider. That's just the environment. That's the market. They're just kind of reporting on that. They're not a manager in this sense. So another index provider, ideally if they're encompassing the market in a similar fashion, is going to have very, very similar type results. Now, what's important to note is that although we said it's been a tough environment looking back, importantly, the external manager line, the composite of the two managers, has delivered returns to you after fees in excess of that market index. And that, again, is their primary objective. And so if you look over the last fiscal year, 3.16 versus 2.63 there at the bottom. You know, over the last 5 years, 0.02. You know, again, a very disappointing compound annual growth rate. We want something higher, you know, to keep pace with inflation, but it was materially in excess of the market index at negative 0.23. So it did protect capital and it did beat the index. So again, from that lens, the program is doing what it's supposed to do.
Adam, is the permanent fund seeing similar historical returns?
I mean, without having it up in front of me, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
But there is an exact same sheet that Callan put together as a presentation, because it's they're both the investment consultant for the retirement management and the permanent fund.
Okay.
It just depends on this we're talking, particularly the fixed income. So I don't have that off the top of my head. I just know our aggregate returns.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And just to shed some light on that question, although neither me nor Perry have the RMB results in front of us right now, you know, what we can tell you with great confidence is, again, to the point in the room, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. This is just fixed income. They manage a much more diversified portfolio, including risk assets. So you would just want to compare it to the fixed income piece. And even with that type of comparison, Ada has always had a fairly conservative investment strategy, a fairly conservative approach, really with a primary focus on capital preservation. And so your two managers, within the core bond universe, you know, tend to look pretty conservative compared to some of the other managers out there. And that's by design historically. But what that has often translated into over the long run is relatively lower returns. Not by a huge margin, but by a small amount. I just want to wrap up with a few last comments to stick to our suggested timeline. The total fund is really what's most important at the end of the day. This is a combination of the internal and external programs. Same concepts. The last fiscal year at 4.08, it beat the target right below that. So that's a weighted index. And so it achieved that objective after fees. Similarly, it did that over 3 years when markets were down. And again, over 5 years as they were again slightly positive. So that's the great news. Although we would like higher returns, it is beating the market. The bad news is the third line is the CPIU. And that's kind of the broad measure of headline inflation. And you'll notice the investment program all told has had a hard time keeping pace with that near and longer term. So fiscal year and up to 5 years now. So have a lot of people, a lot of institutional pools of capital. It's no coincidence that as fixed income took a nosedive, as equity markets even sold off in 2022, it was coincidentally at the same time surging inflation that we hadn't seen in 40 years. So this is a moment in time that it's been very tough to keep pace with inflation. we think going forward, you are set up to do a much better job, but this certainly it reflects a very challenging couple of years. And then, Perry,
go ahead. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, if you have anything to add, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to chime in that I had spoken to Steve Center while you were providing performance, and he provided me the list of benchmarks. And while it's more granular for the other Alaskan relationships, they're all Bloomberg indices. So with that said, we're happy to continue the conversation offline with Jeff to see if there's another provider you'd like us to include. Mm-hmm.
And thank you for that. Yep. And again, yeah, that again, that's just reflective of not a choice on Callan's behalf or any of our clients. Again, that's just kind of the market benchmark out there today. And so that's why it's referenced here and in your investment policy. On page 16, just another way to look at performance, right? So we talked about realized results versus benchmark or target index. That's the primary objective. That's really how we assess things. Secondarily, the other lens is relative to peers. Okay? And that's also spelled out in your investment policy. We think of that more as the opportunity cost. You know, so if you weren't with the managers you have today, but some other managers in the universe, you know, how could things have looked? And so this peer chart up at the top and then the results at the bottom really tell us two things. What they tell us is that the external manager program, again, beat the benchmark. Primary objective number one, it achieved that. So that's good. But the floating bars above that show the blue dots, which is the realized results of the external manager program, rank at the bottom of the peer group, the bottom of that distribution of returns that were delivered over these time periods. And we submit to the board that that's not because these managers necessarily did a bad job or that their thesis is broken, their approach was broken, but it's because of the investment guidelines within which they've been operating, which again were but designed historically very conservative, you know, because Ada did not want to lose any money in the fixed income portfolio. But that, as you might expect, translates into lower return over the long run and hence the lower rankings relative to peers or some of the other managers out there within the same strategy group. And so that's how we look at performance, and when we are talking to Jeff and staff, you know, through these two, you know, complementary lenses are really how we are assessing are the objectives being met as they stand today. So we're going to stop there in the interest of time. That's kind of a high-level view of performance over the last fiscal year and beyond. Although a challenging period, you know, there were a few places to really hide in this market, and the returns being below what we would have liked or what we expect going forward, you know, all of that taken into account, Ada has continued to meet its objectives through this period, so that is good news.
Thank you.
But we're going to stop there and happy to take any questions that the board may have.
Any questions? Randy, I would suggest that within probably the next 3 or 4 months that we have a work session on our investment strategy and risk analysis. And maybe Callan, whoever the experts are, can advise us on that and compare themselves to other state entities or investment. So we can make a decision on that. But we should review it anyway. Even if we don't change anything, we need to review it so everybody understands it. So,
sounds good.
Again, Mr. Chair, as we've already started that process and happy to conclude in the next few months.
Okay.
Actually,
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I just got one, sorry. You know, you look at the historical and you went over that, right? There was particularly relatively poor, you know, 5 to 15 years, and only 5 years ago we hit the 50% median. But going forward, you know, the performance of the last fiscal year as well as the last quarter has definitely perked up from the external managers. You know, from your guidance or advice, to continue to hold serve there?
Yeah, it does. Great point. You're noticing that. So what the external managers are benefiting from today is a much higher coupon rate. So that's the interest payments that the bonds in they're investing in are offering today. You know, a couple years ago it was 1-2%. You know, today it's 5-7%. And so they're benefiting from that. That's translating into higher total returns because the coupon piece, the income piece, is the biggest component of the total return that they can generate for you. And so yes, that's a very astute observation. You're already seeing that, and we only expect that to continue to show in the next several quarters and indeed years.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I think on a relative, that's on an absolute basis, on a relative basis, the managers in the portfolio are really constrained, right? They're more capital preservation oriented, and the less credit risk they've had, the worse they've done. And so that's been a big part of the underperformance relative to peers has just been that they are intentionally not having as much credit risk in the portfolios as peers.
Does that segue into we maybe should be looking at buying more bonds?
Was that a question for Callan?
That's a question.
Well, Mr. Chair, again, as we've been having those conversations as recently as last week with our external managers, and we believe that they can, within the confines of our investment policy statement, can rebalance the portfolio to get much closer to equity-like returns, but still maintaining fixed income. And we're going to be following up with both of them in the next sort of before the end of the month and see whether or not they can start positioning such that we can actually see some excess return than we currently are.
So November, we can go over all this?
There is no board meeting in November, but we can certainly plan for December, if not first thing in the new year.
Or we can do a work session.
Or we can do that.
In November.
Work session.
We really should look at this.
Yeah.
Do you have a meeting with the external managers coming up? Because we're going to have probably 50 basis point cut here.
We are, and so they're already sort of speaking to that, and we do have an analysis of already in terms of what a range of basis point cuts would look like in terms of, as the folks at Callan had indicated, in terms of coupon rates and what we would potentially realize in the next fiscal year.
As well, yeah. I mean, we're going to have another Q1 as well.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Next up on our agenda is item number C under new business, resolution G24-10, Navivision IT upgrades and funding. Randy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So resolution G24-10, Chair authorizes me to procure roughly $360,000 worth of software upgrades and a server. That equipment is necessary for both ADA and AEA, and so I'm also authorized to recover the cost of that purchase that's allocated to AEA. This is necessary because of current system being fairly old, will no longer be supported in the near future, and the benefits to us of having the upgraded software.
All right. I'll entertain a motion for G24-10.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to motion resolution number G24-10, ADA Navivision IT upgrades and funding.
Bill Vivlamore, I'll second.
Thank you. Discussion? Randy kind of hit all the high points here just before we put the resolution up for a vote. So any other further discussion? Julie or Bill online? No?
Nothing from me.
Okay, thank you. All right. Ramey, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Vivlamore?
Yes.
Chair Pruz?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Under new business
item number... Mr. Kendig says yes, too.
Mr. Kendig? Thank you.
Snooze, you lose, Bill. all right. Item D is the FY 2025 draft ADA board meeting dates. I assume people have had a chance to look at it. If you have any
questions about it or conflicts, I guess, let Remy know.
I've been communicating with Julie. Just one thing I just wanted to share is the June 18th meeting, just for the board. I don't know what it affects any of the staff, probably fine for us. But June 19th is now a state holiday. It's an office closed day. It's official now. Signed into law for next year. So I've had a couple other board meetings that were actually scheduled over the top of that that we have had to move. And the 18th, we're still fine. I just want to make you aware for staff.
June 19th, Terry.
That issue.
Well, okay. Well, why don't we change it to the 17th in Ketchikan?
Yeah, that should be fine, Chair.
No issue with me. Wanted to throw that out there for staff purposes for traveling around, which you work doing.
So that means we would travel on the 16th, Monday.
Mr. Chairman, I will not be at next month's board meeting.
Okay.
Just FYI.
And then the other item, Mr. Chair, I just want to bring up the January 22nd proposed date. That's the second day of ledge session. And so both myself and Commissioner Sandy would be very difficult to join on.
There anyway on the second day?
At least I do. I the first week actually is all the investment reports, and I have like three hearings the first week.
Ah, okay. What do you think, Randy?
So maybe the week prior.
Or a week after, to make it at the 29th shouldn't be an issue.
15th or the 29th.
Yeah.
All right. Well, send an update for us, would you?
Sure.
Okay. I like the Wednesdays, so. I know, Albert, did you want to meet at 9 versus 8:30?
Please.
Okay, so let's try to make it. Bill reminded me of that, so I forgot.
Got it.
All right, director's comments.
Right.
A through D.
Right, Mr. Chair. So in project updates, we have, of course, litigation occurring on several fronts. We're continuing to work with local communities and project sponsors such as Ambler Metals and others. We're getting strong support from several tribal entities that want jobs and economic development. So that's continuing. Our next meeting with the Ambler tribal groups and the subsistence committee is in October at AFN. We're now up to, I believe, 8 different communities near the road that are participating in those meetings and supporting the project. So we're gaining ground. And we'll continue. West Sioux field work is underway. We anticipate filing a permit application with the Corps here in the next 60 to 90 days. That'll push that project forward. And we have a number of projects in the pipeline that most are moving pretty slow at this point. We'll continue to work on all fronts, Chair.
Okay. So in the board packet, we have the dashboard report standard and the Small Business Economic Development, Rural Development Initiative Fund report. I don't see any deficiencies on it, so that sounds like it's doing all right.
It's correct.
And then our next regular board meeting is October 23rd. Which brings us to item number 8, board comments. Board comments from anybody.
So if I understood correctly, we're going to meet at 9 a.m. going forward for all of our additional meetings?
Yes. Out-of-town meetings, I'm not quite sure about that, but at least your neighbors.
Thank you.
Any comments? Adam?
No, I'm just thank you to staff for putting together. Appreciate the board packet. And we got a lot of stuff going on right now with the budget development side, so thank you.
Well, Julie or Bill, y'all, you good?
I'm good here. Thank you.
I just want to thank the staff. It was made it pretty easy for me to follow just being on the phone. So thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank the staff also. Appreciate the suites. Yeah.
I really like the linked agenda. I found that to be very useful on all the updates too. It's kept it straight. So yeah. Thank you.
Randy, thanks to you and staff, everybody. And
thank you.
Anything comes up, let us know.